This program is brought to you by Emory University.
A reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 to 31. Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, in order that it is written, "Let the one who boasts boast in the Lord." The word of God. For the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Well, I've been thinking about this sermon for a long time. I've been nervous about this sermon for a long time. Ever since I was asked to do it last fall. Last fall, mind you. You could easily say that this sermon has been a year in the making, but in truth, for more than a year, 100 years to be precise. 100 years because this is Candler's centennial. Like, that doesn't make me even more nervous. What does one say? What does one preach at a centennial anniversary? That's a very good question, and as I've stewed on it for over a year now, with the pressure of 100 years beating down on my bald head, I've come to believe that there are two important things to say, two crucial things that must be preached, and each one is found in the text we heard read in 1 Corinthians and heard sung from Psalm 124, but they are especially pronounced in the Old Testament lesson, which comes from 1 Chronicles 29. Let me invite you to stand and honor the reading of God's word. Then King David said to the whole assembly, "My son Solomon, the one whom God chose, is too inexperienced for this great task, since this temple won't be for humans, but for the Lord God. Using every resource at my disposal, I provided everything for my God's temple: gold for gold objects, silver for silver objects, bronze for bronze objects, iron for iron objects, lumber for wooden objects, carnelian stones for settings, colorful stones, every kind of precious stone, and a large amount of marble. What's more, because of my delight in my God's temple, I have dedicated my own private treasure of gold and silver to my God's temple, in addition to all that I've provided for the holy temple: 3,000 kikars of gold from the gold of Ophir, 7,000 kikars of refined silver for covering the walls of the rooms, gold for gold objects and silver for silver objects, to be used for everything the skilled workers will make. Who else, then, will volunteer, dedicating themselves to the Lord today?" Then the leaders of the households, the leaders of the tribes of Israel, and the commanders of the units of 1,100, and the supervisors of the king's work volunteered to give 5,000 kikars and 10,000 derricks of gold, 10,000 kikars of silver, 18,000 kikars of bronze, and 100,000 kikars of iron for the work on God's temple. Anyone who had precious stones donated them to the treasury of the Lord's temple under the care of Jehiel the Gershonite. The people rejoiced at this response because they had presented their offering to the Lord so willingly and wholeheartedly. King David also rejoiced greatly. Then David blessed the Lord before the whole assembly. "Blessed are you, Lord, God of our ancestor Israel, forever and always. To you, Lord, belong greatness and power, honor, splendor, and majesty, because everything in heaven and on earth belongs to you. Yours, Lord, is the kingship, and you are honored as head of all. You are the source of wealth and honor, and you rule over all. In your hand are strength and might, and it is in your power to magnify and strengthen all. And now, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I? And who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly? Since everything comes from you, we have given you that which comes from your own hand. To be sure, we are like our ancestors, immigrants without permanent homes. Our days are like a shadow on the ground, and there's no hope. Lord, our God, all this abundance that we have provided to build you a temple for your holy name comes from your hand and belongs to you. Since I know, my God, that you examine the mind and take delight in honesty, I have freely given all these things with the highest of motives, and now I've been delighted to see your people here offering so willingly to you. Lord, God of our ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, keep these thoughts in the minds of your people forever and direct their hearts toward you. As for my son, Solomon, give him the wholehearted devotion to keep your commands, laws, and regulations, observing all of them, and to build the temple that I have prepared. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Well, the first of the two things that should be said at a centennial anniversary like this one has to do with the amazement we feel after hearing about David and the Israelites' work in 1 Chronicles 29. The text explicitly states that both David and the people rejoiced in the work, and so also do we when we witness a moment like that, when we witness a moment like this one right now. And so, as a result, the first thing that often comes out of our mouths at such times, the first thing we say, and that we probably should say in moments like these, is congratulations. The situation in 1 Chronicles 29 is no less celebratory than our present one, after all, even though it's a good bit more fraught. David is on his way out, Solomon is on his way in, but Junior isn't quite yet up to the task of constructing the temple or gathering the resources needed, and the need is great. David needs help, a lot of help, and he gets it in spades, or should I say in kickars. And David leads by example. He kickstarts the temple campaign with a lot of his own kickars. The king's treasure, coupled with the overwhelming response of the people, results in a spectacular pooling of financial resources. 8,000 kickars of gold, 17,000 kickars of silver, 18,000 kickars of bronze, and 100,000 kickars of iron. Now, despite the fact that I'm an Old Testament professor, I have no idea what that means. But it sure sounds impressive, doesn't it? I mean, that's a lot of kickars. 153,000 kickars, to be precise. And of course, I'm just kidding. I do know a little bit about what those kickars mean. For one thing, get this, it's almost 5,000 tons of material. For another, according to some scholars, a kickar, or a talent, is equivalent to 6,000 denarii. And a denarius was one day of work. 153,000 kickars is thus the monetary equivalent of 918 million days of work. Now that really is impressive, and it's almost about 25,000 times longer than Candler's celebration of 100 years, which would only be 36,500 days if you're doing the math. No wonder Israel and David rejoice. No wonder we feel like congratulations are in order for David and Israel for this overwhelming, wholehearted support for God's work. And congratulations are in order now, here, for Candler as well. 100 years may only be about 6 kickars in terms of days worked, but that isn't too shabby. Neither is what the school has accomplished during that 100 years. You've no doubt dipped into the recent history of Candler by Gary Hawk, as have I, and have been pleased and impressed with so much that is included there. And then we saw the video, didn't we? And I need to make a quick correction to my math. 6 kickars would be only one person's toil for 100 years. Thankfully, Candler, no less than ancient Israel, has had more than one person toiling in these fields. Hundreds of faculty and staff, thousands of students and alumni have contributed, if not a full kickar, 16.4 years, then at least countless denarii to the cause. And when you start adding all those folk in, along with their days and years of labor, well, the kickar ticker starts running right up. So here at Candler today, in this moment, no less than in Chronicles, back then, in that moment, there is much to be amazed at, a lot to congratulate each other about, a great deal to be thankful for, bringing to mind the words of the psalm that we just sung, 124. If the Lord hadn't been on our side, let Israel now say. If the Lord hadn't been on our side, let Candler now repeat. I added that last part. But you get the point of the psalm. If it hadn't been the Lord, well, then, when we were attacked, we would have been defeated. When the floods came, we would have drowned. But we weren't destroyed. We didn't drown. We escaped, says the psalmist, because our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Yes, there's much to be thankful for, to be amazed at, to say congratulations about. Just think of all that has happened at Emory over the past 100 years, and the Candler School of Theology is still standing. We've weathered a lot of storms. We've outlasted whole other departments, units, entire schools at Emory University. It's stunning to think about that. And then to realize that there is truly no other top 25 Research One university in the world that has a denominationally affiliated school of theology on its campus that cares as deeply and profoundly about religion as Emory University does. Nowhere. And Emory is that way in no small measure because of Candler and the people of Candler, working for over 100 years, offering all those kickars. When you think about all that, it's truly remarkable. Overwhelming, even. It makes us want to say congratulations. And we should say congratulations because that's the first thing that should be said at a centennial celebration like this one. But there is a second thing to say at a centennial celebration like this one, and it follows hard on the heels of congratulations. It's simply this: not so fast. Psalm 124 already gets at the point, doesn't it? If the Lord hadn't been on our side, let Israel now say. If the Lord hadn't been on our side, let Candler now repeat. Did you hear it? The Lord. Congratulations, well, maybe, but to whom are the congratulations due? In 1 Chronicles 29, David knows about this second thing that should be said, this not so fast. He's given extensively and generously from his own private treasure, and the rest of the people, call them the temple donors, the inner circle of friends, the committee of 100, if you will, they've matched his gift in spades, I mean kickars. They've outgived him, in fact. And everything ends up in great joy because they had presented their offerings to the Lord so willingly and wholeheartedly, and things could have ended right there, might have stopped right there with congratulations, with self-congratulations. But they don't, because David knows the truth of Psalm 124. By the way, that's a Davidic psalm, according to the Psalter. David knows if the Lord hadn't been on our side. And so, after setting an example and summoning the people to respond, he doesn't stop with congratulations, and certainly not with congratulations to himself or to the people. Instead, he takes a deep breath and blesses the Lord before the whole assembly, which means, of course, he prays. David's prayer is, as we would expect at such an occasion, both substantial and profound. God, you are blessed always and forever, he begins. To you, O Lord, he continues, belongs everything, the greatness and power, honor, splendor and majesty, absolutely everything, because everything in heaven and on earth belongs to you. And so, David says, or rather prays, God is king, ruler, head of all, the source of wealth and honor, the one who has strength, might, and the power to magnify and strengthen everyone and everything. So now, our God, he sums up, we thank you and praise your holy name. But David's prayer isn't finished, because if all of that is true, because all of that is true, something else has to be said. Who am I, David asks, and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly? Since everything comes from you, we have only given you that which comes from your very own hand. Did you hear that? All the kikars are impressive, sure. And the people's overwhelming response, truly a cause for joy. David's exemplary leadership, indubitably marvelous. But none of that is cause for congratulations. Not to David, and not to Israel, at least. All the kikars, all the giving, even the very willingness to give in the first place, it all comes from God. It all comes from your hand, David prays, and belongs to you. If the Lord hadn't been on our side, let Israel now say, let Candler now repeat. This part of David's prayer makes a stunning theological claim, doesn't it? A claim that reorients our congratulations at profound moments like this one. A claim that rebukes any and all temptation to self-congratulations. And we have to admit, don't we, that we are often tempted to self-congratulations. Our centennial, after all, our centennial is profound. It's one of story and prophecy. 100 years of both. We have outlasted other departments, units, whole schools of the university. We have a story. We are prophetic. Or we'd like to think so. Congratulations! But not so fast. Listen to David again. Who are we, O God? And who are your people that we should be able to give to you so willingly all these kikars, all these years, all this work? Everything comes from you, God. We've only given you what came from your own hand in the first place. Or hear the psalmist one more time. If the Lord hadn't been on our side, let Israel now say, let Candler now repeat. Congratulations may be the first thing one needs to say at a time like this, but it's not the only thing. The second thing is not so fast. Whom do you think you are congratulating? You might need to think again about that. Well, since I'm meddling, bear with me as I meddle a bit more. Yes, we have much in our 100 years to be proud of, to be thankful for, to say congratulations about. But Candler at 100, like Israel and David, knows it hasn't always been a highlight film. Not always as good as the video makes it seem. The offering of our kikars hasn't always been wholehearted or willing. Sometimes the kikars haven't been given to God at all, but retained, restrained, hoarded. Our school, no less than our larger university, no less than the people of God in Scripture, has been plagued by sin with a capital S, scarred by too many sins with a lowercase s to recount, systemic and individual, institutional and societal, and personal. I mean, really, who are we that we should be able to offer so willingly to God and God's work, especially when we have to admit that sometimes we haven't offered at all, let alone willingly? David knows all this full well, and so he ends his prayer by praying about the future. Lord God of our ancestors, he says, keep these thoughts in the mind of your people forever and direct their hearts towards you. Don't let them forget this wholehearted, willing devotion, this perfect obedience. Fix it in their brains, put it in their hearts so that they are kept on the right path, pointed in the right direction towards you. And don't forget little Solomon, David is quick to add. Give him the wholehearted devotion he needs to keep your commandments, observing all of them, and the devotion he needs to build the temple. This kind of prayer for the future, for future generations, for God's help with all that, is absolutely necessary given the pockmarked history of Israel, of Candler. And that kind of prayer is not only necessary, it can prove highly effective. If God is all that David prays God is, if God is the source of all, even of our best, most generous obedience, then God is certainly able to answer this part of the prayer, certainly powerful enough to keep these thoughts in our minds forever, certainly capable of directing our hearts towards the Lord, and not just ours, but all those who come after us, our next generation. Psalm 127 is just a couple away from Psalm 124, and it's attributed to this son David prayed for, his next generation, Solomon, the temple builder. It begins this way. Unless it is the Lord who builds the house, the builder's work is pointless. As you probably know, the Hebrew word for house is the same one typically used for the temple. Unless the Lord builds the temple, Solomon's psalm says, the work is pointless. Solomon, it seems, learned David's prayer by heart. The Lord may need kickers. The Lord may need people who offer them willingly and wholeheartedly, but even then, in the best case scenario, it isn't their house. It isn't their achievement, their celebration, their centennial. If it is, then it's all pointless, meaningless, something that won't even make a ripple in the grand sweep of things, even if it lasts 100 years, even if it lasts longer. I realize that's a harsh word, especially this morning. This morning, we want to claim the best bits of Psalm 127 for ourselves and for Candler. We want to claim that it is the Lord who's been at work building this house, and here it stands 100 years later. And so our work is not, it has not been pointless. Of course, we want to say that, especially at our centennial. And it is true. It is true. The Lord has built this house through the gifts and graces, through the blood, sweat, and tears of hundreds of faculty and staff, thousands of students, millions of hours of reading, writing, lecturing, preaching, teaching, talking, kvetching, and meetings, bazillions and bazillions of faculty meetings. And here the house stands, 100 years later. Thanks be to God for building the house. But, like so many words of Scripture, there's another side to its two-edged blade, the one that cuts not our foes, but us. Unless the Lord builds the house, the psalmist says, the builders work for nothing. And we have to admit, maybe not on this day, certainly not on this day, but alas, yes, even on this day, that not all of our work on this house has been the Lord's work. Much, then, has been pointless. And then we really start feeling like David, don't we? Who am I? Who are we to stand here trying to give God what is already God's? Especially when we have to admit that we often don't give it at all, don't even try to give it, that we've been doing it for ourselves, all by ourselves, all for ourselves, pointlessly. Congratulations, not so fast, in the end, may be far too generous. How about congratulations, not at all? That may be more accurate. But even that is a gift. Realizing that. Let me explain. David's prayer for his people and for his son, his prayer about the human incapacity to give God anything that is not already God's, that prayer, no less than all the kikars, is a gift to God and a gift from God, because it is God who enables gifts and gift-giving in the first place. David's prayer that recognizes his lack of worth, his impermanence, his insignificance, David's prayer that begs God to keep God's people close, that implores God to keep his son Solomon even closer, all of that, too, somehow, some way, is also God's own gift, made possible by the one to whom everything and everyone in heaven and on earth belongs. Hearing "not so fast" on the congratulations isn't just a harsh word, then. Strawn's persnickety attempt to somehow rain on Candler's 100-year parade. It's a gift. It's a gift. It's a reminder to us, to this university, to the whole world, that by ordinary human standards, not many of us were wise or powerful or from the upper class when we were called. But God, Paul says in 1 Corinthians, chose what the world considers foolish to shame the wise. God chose what the world considers weak to shame the strong. God chose what is low class and low life, what is thought to be nothing, to reduce what is thought to be something to nothing, so that no human being might brag in the presence of the Lord, as it is written from the prophet Jeremiah, "The one who brags should brag in the Lord." And that brings to mind one last psalm, Psalm 115, which is not attributed to David or Solomon or anyone by that for that matter. I'd like to think that that might be because it could be attributed to us here and now on this auspicious day, this celebratory moment, this centennial of the Candler School of Theology. Listen to the psalm. "Not to us, Lord, not to us, no, but to your own name give glory because of your loyal love and faithfulness. Why do the nations say, 'Where's their God now?' Our God is in heaven. He can do whatever he wants. You, Israel, Candler, trust in the Lord. God is our help and shield. Trust in the Lord, house of Aaron, house of Candler. God is our help and shield. You who honor the Lord, trust in the Lord. God is our help and shield. May the Lord add to our numbers, both us and our children. May we be blessed by the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. And us, we will bless the Lord from now until forever from now. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's another way of saying congratulations. Just not to us. Amen.
The preceding program is copyrighted by Emory University. Please visit us at emory.edu.